Mama Needs More, episode number 30. Welcome to Mama Needs More, the podcast dedicated to helping you get more from life outside of motherhood. Because let's face it, you're a human too. I'm your host, Kylie Van Gelder, a mom of two wild little miracles and a certified life coach with a master's in psychology. On a bi-weekly basis, I'll bring you a no BS episode full of tips and tricks on how you can boost your confidence and do more of the things you love. It's all about what you need. So come on, let's get started. Hello and welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today. And before I get started, I want to remind you of the free anniversary coaching session available to you if you sign up before April 30th. There are only a few time slots available, so go and visit my website at kylievangelder.com. Click Book Your Free Consultation, fill in the form, and type Anniversary Giveaway. This is for my one-year anniversary of my Mama Needs More podcast. And type that into the box, Anniversary Giveaway. You can book your session in May or June, but you have to take action to do that booking before April 30th, 2024. Share this with your mom friends who are interested in coaching, or give it a try for yourself if you've never done coaching before. But hurry up, the offer ends next week on, I think it's Tuesday. And if you're listening to this after April 30th, 2024, maybe I'm in for an April spritz right now. But if you're listening to this after April 30th, 2024, then I'm sorry, you're too late. But in any case, you can book your free consultation with me and we can have a chat. Also, I wanted to let you know that the shit with my husband and the German government has been resolved. I talked about it in a couple of episodes in the past few weeks, and it took 13 months for them to see the light. But they finally did, and he is going back to work. And I said, talked about it the past few weeks. Actually, I think I talked about it the past few months. But yes, he is going back to work. Woohoo! It is such a major relief for us in our household. The German government operates in a really old-fashioned way, and sometimes it would have felt better to stick a fork in my eye than to try and get them to listen to reason. But with some help of a lawyer, they have seen the light after so long, and it is just such amazing stuff. So I wanted to share that with you. All right, on to this episode. I want to share an experience I had with judging another parent. Okay, this is, I did it. Have you ever done this? Judged another parent? As a mom, you see someone, in my case, it was a dad, respond very inappropriately to a child, and immediately I thought, wow, what an asshole. Look how he is treating his daughter. Terrible. Yep, that was me, right away. And I'll explain the situation to give you the full story here. We were on our way home from visiting family this past weekend, and it was a family wedding, actually, and we stopped at a roadside restaurant because it is just over a two-hour drive for us when we go and visit my husband's side of the family. While we were eating, we heard another family enter the restaurant, and we only heard them because the roughly six-year-old daughter was screaming. She was with her parents and her younger sister. You could hear the parents each speaking to her, trying to get her to stop, but it just didn't work. Yes, we all know that, don't we? From a psychological standpoint, that child was in survival mode. No amount of speaking will get a child out of survival mode. What we often refer to this mode as, she was having a temper tantrum. Instead of temper tantrum, I prefer the words emotional overwhelm. She was experiencing emotional overwhelm. But temper tantrum is unfortunately how society has labeled what happens when a kid is kicking and screaming. For those of you wondering what works to get a child out of this emotional overwhelm, I'll share a few things after I tell my little story here. But the poor girl, she didn't stop screaming. Once the parents received their food, they left their inside table and went outside, likely to save the other patrons from hearing her scream and feeling embarrassed that they couldn't control, quote unquote, control their unruly child. And I'm just going to add this in. It annoys me when someone thinks parents should control their kids. Kids are not robots. They have a personality of their own. And just like us, when they are not feeling very well and they get into emotional overwhelm, they get into the survival mode, no amount of reasoning with them will work. Simply how it is. Anyway, we took our kids outside after we ate because this place has this massive bouncy cushion thing. Also a little playground outside. It's like near a whole camping area. And that could also be why they decided to go outside in hopes that maybe their daughter would see the swings and this bouncy thing and all of a sudden change the mode she was in. But that doesn't happen when we're in that survival mode. But anyway, we love bouncing on this cushion thing that's in the ground. I have no idea what it's called. But anytime we find a place with that, we love going on there, my husband and I, with our two kids and just bouncing like crazy. It's fun. They love it. And we did too. But while we were out there, the girl was still wailing, like randomly kicking and screaming. Then I saw it. The father grabbed her by the arm, pulled her towards the outside wall, and pinned her two arms up against it above her head while aggressively and loudly speaking, not quite shouting, but just centimeters from her face. I was horrified, like shocked. How dare he use this type of power over her? This is what went through my mind. Like I said at the beginning, what an asshole. I was so flipping tempted to go over there and give him my two cents. Also from a psychologist studying psychology, which I had done, I wanted to just say what is happening to her right now. What is going on in her brain? But I didn't. It took him a minute, then he let her go. The mother seemed a bit more embarrassed than she was already feeling, possibly, but the way that she kind of turned away. And I tried not to stare or to give a dirty look because I definitely don't want to have the facial reaction on my face. So instead, I focused on my kids and on having fun. And I'll tell you this, that little girl, she didn't stop. She continued. She clung to the mother who was slightly ignoring her while playing with the other little girl on the slide. But she clung to the mother. And when the dad came close to the girl, she grabbed her mom's hand. Not that I was watching, right? I tried not to stare. But I was on this bouncy thing and they were just in front of me. All I could think about was the poor girl. Why are the parents not forced to take a course? We have to learn how to drive a car and then learn how to type on a keyboard. But here's your child, the human you're supposed to help, form, and support. Good luck. I mean, many people go to puppy and dog training school when they get a new dog. But child training school? Nah, we've got this, the most difficult job in the world, all on our own. No problem. Yeah, right. But as I continued to not watch, the girl continued to scream a bit more randomly as the parents ignored her, but she still continued to. I immediately said to my husband, Jeroen, oh my God, look at them ignoring the poor girl rather than trying to connect with her. And then I went, okay, wait a second. I've done this. There are moments when I didn't want to give attention to my kids' outburst because I had had enough. It might not be the right way, but I've done it. Then I wondered, how long had she been screaming? I mean, it was at least 45 minutes ago when they had arrived. Maybe she had a bad night and the parents were already up with her. Maybe they were exhausted, like I know I've been. Maybe she screamed for 30 minutes in the car and the dad was triggered. He felt unsafe in the car, like something was going to happen, and then triggered more by feeling embarrassed at the restaurant with other people, or even worse, ashamed of himself or of her at the restaurant, and then triggered more by her screaming, and then poof, he lost it. And then I was like, wow. Was I ever quick to judge another parent? Like those people who don't have kids and they say things like, when I have kids, and I want to smack them before they finish that sentence. Well, this is what I did. I was like, well, I would never, wait a second. I have ignored my kids, felt bad for it afterwards and talked to them about it afterwards, but I have done it, right? I have snapped before. And I again talked to them about it, apologized. But yeah, I've been there. I felt a little guilty in that moment. Feeling overwhelmed and triggered as a parent is totally and absolutely normal. Losing it is normal too. Positive parenting or not, No one is perfect, and we all have a breaking point. It's what you do with it afterwards, right? You need to do that repair work with your kids and apologize. Sorry, mommy's feelings got the better of her, and teach them that that can happen, but it's about what you do with it. And I started to think about the times I was triggered by my kids. Actually, not by them. I was triggered by my own triggers and how I responded or how I reacted. And oops, bad sometimes. Other times I did okay, and other times I nailed it. Never consistently perfect. That's for sure. And I felt sorry for him, for his wife, for the sad little girl, for her sister, and for myself for being so judgmental, for being so quick to snap into that. I thought about what I spoke about in episode 10, when we're quick to judge someone else. Was I fearing someone would view me as an impatient mom or as an aggressive mom? This is very possible. I'm by no means perfect, and I have made some major blunders as a mom. There are many things I work to repair with my kids from when they were 2, 3, and 4 years old. And I know I wouldn't be happy if people perceive me as that type of mother all the time. While thinking about these things and how likely the dad had been triggered and maybe had a tough childhood or whatever, I tried to show some compassion towards him and his family and to myself for being afraid others might be quick to judge me as negatively as I had judged him. After that, I felt better and a little less of a rude person for spying on them now. But I think it's important just to pay attention when we have that tendency to quickly judge other people. I'll put a link to episode 10 in the show notes about freeing yourself from judgment, because that's what it is. We have that tendency to do it. It is a natural thing, but it's whether or not we continue to allow ourselves to get sucked up in that judgment, whether being judged from others, whether we feel we're being judged from others, or us judging other people. So in all of that, there's an important message. We're all human beings. No one has it right, no matter how picture perfect their Instagram looks. We are all struggling at times. We all make mistakes. Maybe that dad had just received terrible news about something, right? We all have that feeling. No one deserves to be instantly judged for a one-time event. I don't even know these people. For all I know, this guy is a phenomenal father who just had a crappy day. Been there, done that, got several frickin' t-shirts. What are your thoughts on this? Have you ever been quick to judge another parent? I would love to know. It's not the end of the show, but just send me a message anyway. You can DM me on Instagram at kylievangelder.com. Just share your thoughts. Maybe you have some feedback for me on what you would do differently or what I could do differently next time. Just let me know. I did promise you also some strategies on how to support yourself and your little ones when it comes to emotional overwhelm. And I feel like right now that I'm saying this, that it is almost like two shows in one, but okay. Yeah, I think it links well together with the discussing the fact that she had a temper tantrum or the emotional overwhelm. So we're just going to go with it, okay? But all right, I tossed a few strategies in here as well for teens, which, by the way, work on adults when we're having our version of emotional overwhelm or that temper tantrum, often referred to as feeling overwhelmed, anxious, angry, pissed off, frustrated, very annoyed, or simply really overstimulated from a busy day. It's funny how we have more specific definitions than kids, eh? I mean, they definitely don't understand what they're feeling, and then we go and give their outbursts a name like temper tantrum. This is likely why, as adults, many people don't understand why they're feeling what they're feeling, because all of it was always referred to as a tantrum. This is why I actually also prefer emotional overwhelm, because we can have many types of emotions and feel overwhelmed by them. And it's not to diminish emotions. It's to recognize that there are too many flying inside their heads or in our heads and body all at once, and it's difficult to make sense of them. As kids, children, they're not designed to know how to make sense of them either. That's simply not how their brain is designed at all. And ours as well, ours as adults, is designed to be able to do that. We just actually quite often never learn the techniques to be able to deal with our emotions. And that is our job now, to help them. So if you struggle with dealing with your emotions, likelihood is your children will as well. So maybe work on dealing with your emotions as well and knowing the difference between them and how to react and respond to, with them, so that you can teach that to your kids. But okay, before I get on yet another topic in this episode, here's what you can try. When your child is in this emotional overwhelm, show your child a picture and ask them what they see. Kids do not respond to, stop screaming, don't do this anymore. Why are you behaving like this? You're not supposed to do that. Stop, whatever. They don't respond to that. What do you want? What do you need from me? They don't respond to that. They do not respond to speaking. Show them a picture of something that they like. If they like cars, show them a car, or unicorn, rainbows, whatever it is. I don't care. Show them a picture of something that they like. And ask them what they see. Ask them to describe it. What color is it? What is around it? What's on the ground? Whatever. The other thing you can do is bring them to a window and talk about what you see outside. So if your child's not responding to the whole picture thing and doesn't want to speak, bring them to a window and be like, whoa, did you see that bird? Or, oh, cool red car. Or how many trees does mommy see? 1, 2, 3, and so on, just whatever. If they are somewhat engaged, you can also ask them to count how many trees or cars or windows on other houses that they can see. Whatever you can see, ask them about it. You can also, if your child is young, start drawing a picture on their back and ask them to guess what it is. Now, I do this regularly with my kids, so it's not like all of a sudden some thing that mommy's doing that she's never done before. On Sunday mornings, on any mornings actually, I do not like to get out of bed. But on Saturday, Sundays, especially when we don't have to get up for the morning school rush, my kids always come into bed with us in the morning, and I will, to keep them there longer, I will have them lay next to me and I will draw on their back a rainbow or a flower or an apple or a house. Simple pictures that they can guess. But I notice that when they are feeling so emotionally overwhelmed, and I start doing this as well, that they know this and they start to think. And they start to try and guess what it is, and it settles them down. Something else that works for my kids are 6 and 6.5. My daughter and my son is going to be 8 soon. So I grab their favorite book, whichever one is having the tantrum, the emotional overwhelm. I keep using the word tantrum because I've said it a few times in here, but it is emotional overwhelm. I grab their favorite book. I sit on the floor or in a chair on like one of the chairs in the living room, and I just start reading out loud without saying anything else. Often, my son is very highly sensitive, so he needs to be removed from the stimulating situation. So I go upstairs to his room with him. Whether he's kicking and screaming, it doesn't matter. I never leave him alone in his room. I always go in with him. And first thing I often do is grab a book and just start reading. And he sometimes doesn't like it, but eventually, in many cases, it actually gets him to calm down and listen. And then he comes over and he sits with me and he cries. So you can try this as well. You can also sit on the floor and say, "Mommy is here for you when you need me." And then just sit there. Do not say anything. The important thing, even if they scream and yell and tell you to go away, the important thing is you do not leave them alone with their struggle. They need to know they're not alone. For teens and adults, the first two work really well, looking at a picture and describing it, going to a window and talking about what it is that you see. You can also try this other thing that we do in acceptance and commitment therapy, or just in general, in actually any sort of supportive therapy for anxiety or overwhelm, is ask yourself or ask your child for 5 things they can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. Or, last thing on my list here, simply focus on taking 5 to 10 deep breaths. Really concentrating on your in-breath, pausing for a second or two, exhaling longer than your inhale, pausing, inhale as long as you can, pause, exhale, like that. Make sure that exhale is longer than your inhale, but both of them should be quite long. So several seconds if you can, 4 to 7 seconds, with a, say, 2-second pause in between. The point of all of these is to get out of the survival panic mode of your brain and back into the thinking and reasoning part of your brain or your child's brain, your teen's brain, who's also your child, of course. And even though it seems like quite often we can't reason with a child of a certain age, They do have that ability if you just get them out of that survival panic mode that they're in, of these all of these emotions racing through them, and teach them how to process it by doing these things. You're not, the point of these is not to totally distract them from what they're feeling, because you're not talking about their feelings. You're just trying to get them out of their feeling. And then you can later, when they're in what we call in our house green, so the emotional overwhelm would be red. In between, also when a child gets very excited, for example, can be what we call orange. And then when the outburst happens, it's red. And green is, when they're in green, it might be the next day, 2 days, 3 days later, you can talk to them about how they were feeling and that they can always come to you. But it's about practicing and teaching them how to handle those situations when they feel so overwhelmed, giving them these tools and techniques to use, which you can also use, so that they know how to deal with it when they're older, when they're adults. I know sometimes it's tempting to lock them in their room or toss them in a corner to think about their behavior, but don't. They don't understand their emotions. And by making them sit alone, they might start to feel alone. They want to know that you can handle their emotions. So instead, teach them that you can handle their emotions and that their emotions are normal. You have them too. It's how you deal with them that matters. So the kicking and screaming is not allowed. Okay, sure. But that's not the focus in that moment. The focus is to get them out of it. They'll learn with age if you are more or less consistent. It doesn't always work. And sometimes we forget. But when you do try, one of these is likely to work. And maybe you have to try multiple in one situation. Maybe the window thing doesn't work. The reading the book doesn't work. But just try it. Just try a couple of them and see what works. Give even one of them multiple tries, for example. It might take a little bit for the kid to, for your child to get into it. You're not ignoring your feelings or theirs. You're just trying to get out of the brain believing it's about to die or be significantly injured. The fight, flight, freeze, or fawn feeling that happens when we are in survival mode. And our perception goes super, super narrow, like a horse on a racetrack with the blinders on. They can't see the bigger picture. And that's what happens when you're in survival mode. So if you can get your child or get yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed out of that mode, then there's a possibility of seeing the bigger picture and the option to calm down. There, then choice opens up. For kids experiencing emotional overwhelm, it's no different than adults feeling overwhelmed. There were maybe too many stimulants in a day, lack of sleep, too much screen time, too much candy, poor diet, not enough water, a busy day, a fantastic day at the park where they get so excited. They have all these exciting emotions in them that they can hit that, they get into that high orange area and then poof, they burst into red. A birthday party can do that to kids, especially if they're highly sensitive. They absorb all of the emotions of everyone else around them. Someone else got in trouble at school, for example. That happens to my son as well. Sometimes my daughter too. Someone else gets in trouble and they absorb that, how that child is feeling and how the teacher is feeling in response to that behavior of the child. They absorb that as if it's their own and then come home and have an outburst. And I'm like, whoa, what is happening? What happened? First question for me in my head is, okay, something, you know, what happened at school today? Something obviously happened. And I don't ask my kids at that point. But usually 2-3 days later, it comes out. So just know that there is something else behind it. And they have these emotional outbursts. And then, for example, you cut their banana, or before they have the emotional outburst, something's happened around it. And then you cut their banana the wrong way. And then poof, they go apeshit on you. And you're like, whoa, I just cut your banana. Like, what's going on? And for adults, the overwhelm comes when we feel we have too much to do and too little time to do it, for example. Panic might even set in, and then poof, we are easily set off by our kids screaming at us because we cut their banana the wrong way. Get it? Awesome. So never think that it has anything to do with the actual banana, by the way. It's all the stuff behind that's added up. But in any case, I get this wrong sometimes too. I find it amusing as well, I will say this, that I'm handing out parenting advice. But it's based on what I've learned from trying to understand me, my kids, and how our brains work. Mistakes happen, and perfection is not what we're aiming for here. I think I said the word perfect and perfection several times in this show, just to emphasize that that is not what we're going for. More often than not is good. That's it. You just want to get, you know, I'm going to guess 7 times out of 10 right. or 6 times out of 10 right, more than not getting it right, or not getting it at least somewhat decent enough. Getting mad at yourself because you didn't do it the right way is also not very helpful, and it adds to the possible mom guilt. Do what you can do starting now. Turn to these things, these strategies that I gave you, also for whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, for when your child, your teens are feeling overwhelmed, and see if they work. And I hope that they do. I hope that this show offered you something. And that is it for today's show. So together with hoping that these strategies work for you, I also hope that I am not alone with my accidental judging of another parent, or my quick to judge another parent. Let me know by DMing me on Instagram at Kylie Van Gelder. If you or someone you know want to take advantage of my coaching services, make sure to sign up before April 30th, 2024. You can visit my website at www.kylievangelder.com, book your free consultation, fill in the form and write anniversary giveaway, and you'll get your free coaching session and your free consultation, by the way. So it's like 2 in 1. If you like the show today, or you liked any of my other shows, click subscribe and you will be updated the second an episode goes live. Woo, you gotta love technology, right? Remember to share this show with other mamas who are in need of more. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.